Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who opens the heavens and draws near to us with salvation. God is patient and merciful, desiring all to come to repentance. Trusting this promise of grace, let us confess our sin. Everlasting God, you love justice and you hate wrongdoing. We confess the fear, greed, and self-centeredness that make us reluctant to work against oppression. We are complicit in systems of exploitation. We choose comfort over courage. We are careless with creation's bounty. Look upon us with mercy. Turn our hearts again to you. Make us glad to do your will and to walk in your ways for the sake of our waiting world. Amen. Hear these words of assurance. God clothes you with garments of salvation and covers you with robes of righteousness. In the tender compassion of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. God's covenant is eternal, and God's blessing rests upon us all. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, awaken us to the threatening dangers of our sins, and keep us blameless until the coming of your new day. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. One of the best-known customs for the season is the Advent wreath. The wreath and winter candle lighting amid growing darkness strengthen some of the Advent images found in the Bible. The unbroken circle of greens is an image of everlasting life, a victory wreath, the crown of Christ, or the wheel of time itself. Christians use the wreath as a sign that Christ reaches into our time and leads us to the light of everlasting life. The four candles mark the progress of the 4 weeks of Advent and the growth of light. Sometimes the wreath is embellished with natural dried flowers or fruit. Its evergreen branches lead the household and the congregation to the evergreen Christmas tree. In many homes, the family gathers for prayers around the wreath. Let us pray. Praise to you, O God, our salvation, who is near. You hold us in our waiting and keep us awake to the world. You show up in our lives at unexpected times. Bless us as this first candle calls us to keep vigil for your arrival. We trust that even though we do not know the day or the hour, you hurry to gather all people to your peace. Amen.
Thank you. A reading from Isaiah. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways, but you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. The congregation, please read the bold print. Hear, O shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock, shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim. Restore us, O God, let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink. Restore us, O God of hosts, let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. And so will we never turn away from you. Give us life, that we may call upon your name. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, "In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as this branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things take place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the gospel of the Lord.
You may be seated. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So some of you may know that right now I'm on leave from call, doing pulpit supply here and there. During the week, I fix copiers. Specifically, I fix the big printing presses that you'll see at a publisher's or at big print shops. And this past week, I spent most of my week working at Ohio University, fixing the big presses in their print shop. The work itself was fine, even though it seemed like it would never be finished, because it takes a while to work on the big machines. But the drive there and back was miserable. I would get up at 4:30 when it was completely dark, drive for 2.5 hours to get there, and then drive that same trip back, leaving at about 5. Now, in the summer, this is not a terrible thing at all because it doesn't get seriously dark till 9 or 10 at night. But in the winter, I leave in pitch black and come home in pitch black. And in the darkness, it seems to add stress and anxiety to that trip. I have to watch out for deer, and I have to hope it doesn't rain, which this past week it did. And I have to fight the headlights that are in my face the whole way. Driving at night is just harder. It's hard in the darkness. But it's the only way to get home. I can't really stay there until morning, waiting for the light to come. I have to drive through the darkness to get home. And this week is the first week in Advent. This week, like the last of the church year, Christ the King Sunday, which we had last week, we look into the promises that God offers when the Son of Man comes again. The promise of a time when pain and sadness and loneliness and weeping and all of the other things that push us toward despair will be gone. God promises light perpetual and life eternal to the elect whom God chooses in this gospel in Mark today. And I always find that phrase, the elect, a little bit threatening in my own mind. It's another one of those who's in and who's out kind of phrases that so many may take out of context and use as a way to exclude others. And I often wonder, am I the one excluded or not? Am I the elect? I like to think I am. But if we are open to all of Scripture, we will hear that God desires nothing less than for all of humanity to be the elect. Right? In the Old Testament, God says through the prophet Isaiah, on this mountain, I will provide a feast for who? For all people. A feast of well-aged wines and good food. And in the New Testament, Jesus says in John, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. So as we hear the term the elect, we may have that temptation to think about who it is that's the elect. But we can hear that all who are called are the elect. In other words, everyone. Everyone is able to participate in that day after that suffering, right? Which is another one of the hard phrases in this particular gospel. After that suffering. You see, Mark's gospel was written to a people who had just been devastated by the destruction of their beloved temple, the place where God dwelled. So everything they knew about God and religion and about life together and what was at the center of that was destroyed. They had nothing to center their lives around anymore. And they were in total spiritual darkness. So Mark offers them some headlights to bring just a little bit of light as they drive through the night, through this despair. A little hope to help them on the journey out of despair and into a new hope. The Son of Man will come in clouds in power and glory and will gather everyone into the light. God will bring the people home through the darkness. So are you in darkness these days? Are you weighed down by the darkness of life's struggles? We all know that there are struggles that we all share, just as there were struggles common to humanity, even in first century Palestine. Health issues, relationship problems, class struggles, poverty, homelessness. Solomon said that there is nothing new under the sun. We've all felt the same struggles. But somehow today, the struggles we feel when we're in the middle of them seem so much more intense than it did in the stories we read. Because when you read about something, you can detach a little. But when you are in the middle of it yourself, you feel it. It's real. So the hope that we hear in Mark's gospel today for his people offers us a little light as well. Darkness is not all there is. Light will dawn and a new day will come upon us, bringing joy and peace and belonging and unconditional love. That is how we enter into this season of Advent. We acknowledge the darkness of our world, but we also look for the light in it, because looking for the light is all that we can do sometimes. It's like the nightlight in the bathroom, right? It's not a lot of light, but it's enough so that we aren't completely blind in the darkness. We can see our way a little bit. This couple weeks ago, the November 20th, was the Transgender Day of Remembrance in Uptown Marion. We gathered in the dark and the cold, with candles lit, remembering the 65 transgender people who had been killed or completed suicide because they couldn't stand the hate in this world toward them. And as I read Mark's gospel for today, I was reminded of that evening. We were a people in darkness, crying out to God for a new light, the light of transgender justice, to shine on this world. We named the darkness of hate and misunderstanding that led to violence toward 65 of God's beloved children. And we shared our belief that the hope of God's promises are real. We grieved and we healed a little, knowing that the darkness is not all that there is. Advent always asks us to wait. But we wait expectantly. Mark asks us to keep alert to the signs of God's coming. This generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. It may be that Jesus was speaking about his own crucifixion and resurrection, according to some scholars. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. This could be a picture of what happened when Jesus gave up his spirit on the cross. Right? The earth shook, the sky was dark, and the veil of the temple was torn. And again, Jesus says, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds." You see, after the resurrection, Jesus, at Pentecost and beyond, gathers the elect by the power of the Holy Spirit, by hearing the word, through worship, through conversations, through the Spirit moving in this world. And this is how people have come to know God ever since. And we, here in the 21st century, are called in the same way to be alert for the signs of God's coming into the world. Signs of light penetrating the deep darkness of hate and greed and malice and injustice of every kind. And we won't know it's coming. And we won't see it if we aren't looking. Because until that great and glorious day dawns, Jesus comes to us in unexpected and sometimes small ways. And if we aren't looking, we may miss the glory of God in our midst. Keeping alert is about living in such a way that you can look around your daily routine and say, "I saw God today." Have you ever said that? Have you ever had some situation in which you knew that this was God acting? It happens all around us every day. As I was working on these printers at Ohio University on Friday, the operator started sharing with me a little bit about her mother-in-law and the health struggles she's going with and how she is having trouble coping. She didn't know that I was a pastor. She just wanted to talk with someone about what she was going through. And God was there in that print shop. Not because I counseled her in some way or offered some holy insight. We were just sharing with one another, hearing and being heard. And God is in that. In Advent, we look for the promised coming of Jesus as Savior, and we look for the presence of Jesus already here as Spirit. And already moving us toward the time when the light will shine into our lives forever. And so we watch. We are alert for signs of all this in our lives, in worship, and are offering ourselves in service to those who are still struggling to see any light. Keep alert, therefore. Listen for the promises and give thanks to God for those small ways in which God shows up in our lives. God, the giver of light. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally God and the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through whom all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven,
was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead.
With hope and expectation, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all who await God's day of restoration. Call your church into holy fellowship as we await the restoration of all things. Re-energize your faithful people to live with hope and compassion, especially those who serve as missionaries near and far. Center us on your promise to come among us and make all things new. Merciful God, we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Michael, our presiding bishop pro tem, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, Paul, our presiding minister today, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Merciful God, all creation signals your presence, O God, the vastness of the cosmos, the turn of the seasons, and living things that both rest and flourish. Rekindle our commitment to care for the earth. Merciful God, let the nations tremble at your holy presence, that justice and liberation prevail in all corners of the earth. Restore peace to nations in conflict, teach righteousness to corrupt leaders and systems, and bring stability to areas facing uncertain futures. Merciful God, enrich the spirits of all who feel hopeless, fearful, or despairing. Stay close to those who await healing or relief, especially Charlie, Justin, Susie, Donna, John, Robert, Joellen, Carol, Pat, Dixon, John, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Phyllis, Dave, Theodore and family, Cheryl, Jean, Rick, Bill, Jessica and her twins, Wesley and Wyatt, Jim, Caitlin and unborn twins, and our homebound. Deliver all in any need. Merciful God, be with those who keep awake at night, nurses working overnight shifts, caregivers of newborns and aging adults, stargazers, those who are anxious, or those who are traveling. Reveal to all that the dark can be a place of calm and comfort filled with your presence. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
You have sent out your angels and gathered your faithful people from every time and place, calling them into one fellowship of saints. Bless the witness of those who dwell in your eternal presence, especially Francis Xavier, whom we commemorate today. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Listen to all these and all our prayers. O God of hosts, and restore us with your great and everlasting mercy. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of peace.
Let us pray. God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. We will be receiving communion by intinction today. We have wine on each side. The grape juice will be on the pulpit side. Broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Oh, may God bless you as you grow in your faith. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Bless you as you grow in your faith. Amen. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. May God bless you as you grow in your faith. Amen. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body and blood of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Somebody went up. Did somebody go up? Body of Christ broken for you. body of Christ broken for you. I invite you to rise as you're able. Now may this holy and precious body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ keep you in God's grace now and forever.
Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, in this meal you give us a foretaste of that day when the hungry will be fed with good things. Send us forth to make known your deeds and to proclaim the greatness of your name through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Gracious God, loving all your family with a mother's tender care, as you sent the angel to feed Elijah with heavenly bread, assist those who set forth to share your word and sacrament with those who are homebound. In your love and care, nourish and strengthen those who will receive this sacrament, and give us all the comfort of your abiding presence through the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All right, I believe we have one announcement at least. Three. All right.
Offering envelopes are available in the narthex as you pass on the way out. On the right-hand side there, they're kind of arranged in alphabetical order, more or less. If you don't see that I made a box out for you and you'd like one, let me know. Or if I made one out for you and because you give electronically or whatever, let me know that as well, and we'll take you off the list for next year. So, thank you.
We are Stephen Ministry is going to open up classes again, and we are accepting applications. I believe there's some application forms that are in the narthex and in the document center, whatever. Stephen Ministry, thank you, Pastor Paul, for your wonderful message today. It leads right into what I want to say. We are there to help with people that are going through crisis. Stephen Ministers are. And no matter what the crisis be it a parent, a death in the family, any crisis in life, we are there to walk with our care receivers to get through that crisis. And this training is very, very powerful training. And it teaches you how to minister to your care receivers. So, there are application forms in the narthex. If you don't happen to see one, you can contact either Scott Blackford or myself, and we'll be glad to get you one. And again, we are making this program flexible. So that it can meet with your scheduling needs. Okay, Cindy.
I just want to thank each and every one of you. We had three families, and we had a lot of gifts, little gift tags out there. Every single one was taken. I just needed to let you all know that, and I thank you so much. Hopefully the gifts will be here today by midnight. If not, I'll give you tomorrow to bring them in, and then I need to get them where they need to go. So thank you again. Just made my heart just sing. Thank you very much.
Can we all just say, woohoo?
Woohoo!
That was just awesome. Thank you.
Carol Whistle said that last year the one thing that she missed the most at this time of year was there was no caroling. And so this year, of course, we have been doing our Bible studies over there on the second Monday of the month. And I would like to just invite and make that sort of a little caroling session as well as having our little Bible study. The Bible study that day is going to be the Chalk Talk artist, Elva Hurst. She does a program for Christmas. And so we are going to be showing that on DVD, and I just think it would be a good time to maybe spark it up with a little bit of singing. So if any of you can come and join us at Chadwick on the 11th of December, you would be more than welcome. I'd kind of like to have a notice of how many people might be there, just so that I can tell the manager of how many were coming. So if you can come, let me know. But we would surely welcome anybody that would like to come and sing some carols and enjoy the artistry of Elva Hurst again. Thank you. Time, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. Thank you.
So as Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. St. John Lutheran Church Windfall is centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, and sent to the community to share the love of Jesus. God, the source of all glory, God, the Word of life, God, the Spirit of truth, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you all, now and forever. Amen.